Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? Hey, Five Tribe. Today's episode is called How to Be Your Best Friend, and it's something that we are both actively working on a daily basis. I'm Andrew, and with me always is Kat. How you doing today, Kat?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be doing this episode today.
Yeah, me too. I think it's an easy thing to say and a really hard thing to do, like so many other things in the personal growth space. But being your own best friend can mean a lot of things to people. So if I told you you need to be your own best friend, what does that mean to you?
It means treating yourself like you would a friend. And I think that we get that advice a lot, or you might see a nice quote on Instagram. And for people who are struggling with mean self-talk, a lot of people will say like, well, you wouldn't say that to someone you love. So why are you saying it to yourself? Right. And so this is a little step above that, I would say, because one of the things you and I have been talking about off screen a lot is self-compassion. And so it's one thing to speak nicely to yourself and say like, hey, stop calling my best friend, you know, dumb or whatever. Yeah. It's another thing, another level to have a deep compassion and understanding and kind of holding space for yourself, like coming to yourself from a place of empathy.
Yeah. And it's a really, if you are somebody who has been like motivated their whole life through fear and being kind of hard on yourself, like I got to really push hard to do this, this feels very counterintuitive. It feels like you are being lax, you're being lazy, you're being soft on yourself, all of which are good things. But when you've been raised in a environment of, I need to be the drill sergeant, I need to be super hard on myself, I got to push for anything to happen, this is really, really hard, because it's like, it's finding this whole new side of you that has probably been silent and being like, oh, I'm just waiting for you to find me. And once you start talking with it and start kind of giving it some attention, things shift quite interestingly, has been my experience.
Yeah. So I think what Andrew's saying is that we're not only saying treat yourself like your best friend, monitor your thoughts, we're saying take it a step further and actually like visualize you talking to yourself. Visualize this little part of yourself. And that little part of you is, for whatever reason, feeling less than and hurting and, needs a friend that day. And it changes everything. And this is not our idea, right, Andrew? It's based on a pretty popular theory right now.
Yeah, this is not something, this is something that was actually recommended to me a little while ago in therapy. And it kind of took the Instagram post into and put it inside of me. And I'm like, oh, so I got to actually do this now. And I'm much easier when somebody says do this and I start. But yeah, it's it really
internal
is like kind
parts
of
parts therapy. Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, IFS. Yeah, I think that's part of it.
Oh, internal family systems, right?
Yeah. Where you just kind of, you see yourself as not as one whole person, but as many different parts. So there's this, you know, there's this little child part, there's this survivor part, there's this thriver part, there's all these, and I'm not getting the names right, but you know, you just label them different things. And what you're doing is embracing all of these parts of you and just giving them permission to exist. Because I think a lot of times we look at like maybe having, I'll dub negative emotions, like which is anything that's not happy, to kind of want to be pushed to the side, but that's a part of you and that's an okay part of you. You just got to acknowledge that it's there and go, I'm feeling upset because I got left out. That's a normal human reaction. And if you're being your best friend, since this is all what we're talking about right now, your best friend would go, you know, you're pretty tired today. Going out tonight probably wouldn't have been the best thing for you. You probably would have been wiped out and whatever. Or you don't even like going to noisy bars and you would have just, you're just having FOMO and that's okay, but staying home's all right. So just kind of nurturing those little parts of you, those different parts of you, and appreciating them for what they actually do for you.
Yeah, there's actually a book called No Bad Parts that my therapist recommended to me. And I think part of it is that all of us think that we're supposed to be perfect. We think that we're supposed to be, you know, this ideal version of ourselves every day. And the minute you start having compassion for yourself and saying like, you needed that nap, it's totally fine to have girl dinner or to make your kids mac and cheese. Like, you're a wonderful mom. You're doing the best you can. All of these things are at least thoughts that didn't come naturally to me. And you have to really look back at how you were raised, the culture you were raised in. For me, I grew up in a very high achieving family, very, very strong work ethic. You know, one of my siblings is a doctor. The other one is finishing a PhD at Duke. Like, we are very driven people. And so for me, it has taken me decades to honor that part of me and say, hey, that part of you is a hardworking part. Let's honor that part. She helped you get to, you know, wherever you wanted to be, self-employed, all these things. But there's this other part of you that's craving calm. There's this other part of you that's craving rest. There's this other part of you that wants you to know that you don't have to perform at the highest level every single day at all times, because you're going to make yourself sick from just complete exhaustion. And so understanding how you grew up and the expectations of you and your society and all of those things can help you to reframe things and have more compassion for yourself.
It's put it great. I love how you said that. I think when we start to be our own best friend, it can feel a little fake. And I think if you're new to all of this, this kind of personal growth side of it, where you're giving yourself different personalities or having this internal best friend, we can kind of look at it and go, I don't get this. So
yeah,
what I'll give my own experience with this. I have a track that is much like Catherine's. It's been subconscious for the better part of my life. It got put in there at a really young age. And it basically says, work harder, don't rest. You're not good unless you're doing something. Now, that's a really, really, really hard thing to have going on all the time. So when I take a break, this is not my best friend. This voice that's been running in my background does not have my best interest at heart. It has my achievement at heart, but it doesn't have everything else. And so what I have to do is kind of distinguish where a different voice would be. And for me, it's on my front left. It was where my best friend is. And I just kind of look over there in my brain, which it's just accessing a different part of my brain when I do that. And I'm just like, what would my best friend say to me right now? What would I say to somebody if they were having this exact moment of like, oh, I'm so stupid for burning the eggs? You know, best friend would say, they're just eggs. You can make more food. Who knows? Maybe crispy eggs is the new thing that it's going to catch on someday. you're the front runner of this. So what? But that's, you know, even like
that's
making
what
a
you
little,
would say. Yeah,
that's
to your
right.
best
that
friend.
Is what you would say. Yeah. And it's so funny because like even in my head, I'm like, you wouldn't have said this 2 months ago. So
yeah,
that's how the progress goes. It's like suddenly the first time you do this, dear listener, you're probably going to feel really silly. And that's okay, because that means you've probably been lacking silly in your life. And that's a part of you. And you need to honor that. So you just kind of have that little conversation with yourself. And it's like, what would I say to my son if he burnt the eggs? I wouldn't get mad. I'd be like, oh, well, you know, let's see how they taste. And if we don't like them, we'll throw them out and do something else. Or I would be supportive. I would be kind. I would be calm. Because that's how I am to everybody else. So I need to start being that way to myself. And it's really the biggest gift you can give yourself is to start treating yourself the way you treat everybody else, rather than the way you treat yourself, which is just, you know, like doggy doo-doo. So I'm trying to keep this PG.
Yeah, and you know, we had been saying something similar to each other for years. Andrew and I mean, we started out as accountability partners because we were both running online businesses. And then we became just really close friends. And of course, now we share our life together. But when either of us would be hard on ourselves or be, you know, kind of verbally abusive to ourselves, like if I was like, oh, I'm such an idiot for like, you know, not doing this thing I completely forgot to do, Andrew would say, hey, stop talking to my best friend like that. And then if he would say something about, you know, himself, I'd be like, hey, you, I don't like how you're talking to my best friend. And so it was very easy for us to say it to each other. But because, you know, personal growth takes a long time, it's taken us to like this year to be like, wait a second, we should probably be saying that to us too, to the track in our minds, you know, whatever voice, whatever critical part of us, because the more in depth you go with this, the more you realize like the little voices in your head are not really you. They're things that you heard growing up, things you've heard from society. I'm American, Andrew's Canadian. The American culture is very intense, very much like, you know, go, 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 don't take a break. The thought of, you know, any kind of rest is frowned upon, right? So you have to realize that you are getting all these different inputs and you have to decide what's best for you. Even yesterday, we were going to record this podcast and Andrew had a tough day. He wasn't feeling well. And if I was like past me, I would say, I would get like cheerleader cat in and I'd be like, come on, we can do it. You know, let's get another coffee and we're going to sit down. We're going to do it. But instead yesterday, I was like, you know what? We can record this tomorrow. It'll be fine. It's a busy day tomorrow, but like we'll find a slot to do it. And Andrew of a few years ago wouldn't have even mentioned that he was feeling bad, right? He would have just like powered through and like he has such a strong work ethic. But even Andrew of yesterday, like, you know, it took two or three times for me to bring it up and mention it. But finally he was like, you're right. I need to take a rest. I need to close my eyes in this moment. I need to go take a walk because I'm not bringing my best self to this podcast recording, right? And so, and here we are feeling a lot better today.
Definitely. In the morning.
And so just to give an example of something that happened just yesterday.
Yeah. And honestly, like in my head, the me of even last year probably would have been like, suck it up, buttercup. You said you're going to do it. Go do it. And the me of like of yesterday and today is like, this is not right. You are not in a good shape. And that's okay. You're not going to be in bad shape forever, but you're not in good shape right now. So take care of yourself because that's the best way you're going to be able to show up and be better for everyone. And it led to, you know, more in depth and this lovely little story about yesterday in the podcast. And it's good because you know, we're all human. We're all going to have hard days. I think the hardest part when you start doing this is to identify, at least it's been for me, is to identify that voice in the background that has been, it's like a siren that's been going off for 20, 30 years. So you don't even notice that it's ringing anymore. It's just there. And the new voice that comes in, this best friend, is really something that you have to intentionally foster and go to in those moments. And as you do that, as you start going back to your best friend for help, it gets easier. You're creating that new neural pathway. You're creating that new emotional resilience and compassion for yourself, and you want to go to it. And suddenly, from everything I've read, I'm not there yet, of course. I don't know if you ever fully make this voice go away, but that voice that has been driving you, the siren that's been running in the background forever, stops. It'll pop up once and again, but once you start becoming your best friend and fostering that part of you, it gets a lot better. And I can attest to that in the last 2 months because yesterday's podcast, had we recorded, it would have been garbage. And this one is feeling a lot better. So.
Yeah, it is. And we've learned that. And there's so many times that you and I have pushed through and done different work things when we probably shouldn't have. But you know, there's this driving factor that, you know, it's driven by scarcity and driven by all of these other external inputs that, you know, we're not worthy if we don't perform and output and publish and do all these things. And of course, we have to work because, you know, we got bills to pay.
Life, yeah.
But it's the intensity and the way that you come at it and the way that you treat yourself as you're doing it that matters.
Absolutely. So when you're starting to do this, when you're trying to be your best friend, you're listening to this, and I can almost imagine everybody that listens to this is like, okay, I need to probably do this a little bit. The part of you that's really hard on yourself when you don't do it right 100% of the time is going to beat you up. And that is not what we want for you. So all we're looking for is that awareness in the beginning. We talk about this over and over again. Everything begins with awareness. So if you do something, and I think it's going to be more for most of us in those moments, in the burnt egg moments, in the I forgot my key moment, like that kind of, you do something out of the ordinary and then you're like, wow, I really feel bad suddenly, or you catch yourself saying out loud, stupid, you know, like something like that. That's when we want you to have awareness and go, I'm being a jerk to myself right now. what could I say? What's the nice thing that I could say? It's like everybody forgets their keys now and then. Just go get them. You're okay. I like you. I love you. If you can get there, you know, we're not trying to do leaps and bounds, right?
This is not a miracle show, people. No, I'm just kidding.
but we'll leave that to Hallmark. But when you do that little bit, that start, that like, I am going to consciously make an effort to do this when I catch myself. And there'll be a lot of times you don't catch yourself, and that's okay because you're starting out. But the more you do it, the more you catch yourself, and the nicer that voice becomes. And even this morning, like I woke up and I had like, I'm in a bad thought, but I was just like, you know, I'm recovering right now from an accident and my body was hurting. And when you're in pain, it's very common for you to kind of just go down negative pathways in your brain because, you know, it hurts. And I just kind of stopped and I paused and I'm like, no, what's so great about today? What great things are going to happen today? And it just completely changed my brain. And I'm like, I'm going to get to record a podcast and that's going to be really good. And I'm going to get to go out later on today and I'm going to do this and I'm going to get to go for a car ride and all these things. And suddenly the grumpy voice was gone. So it just takes that little bit. And that's a great way to start your mornings too, which we can get into another episode. But
the purpose of life isn't to be happy every single day. The purpose of life isn't to have positive thoughts every single day. The purpose of life is to love and to learn about yourself. It's how to navigate the many dynamic parts of being human. If you're constantly expecting yourself to be perfect every day and happy every day, it's a recipe for disaster. We recognize the challenging emotions as a contrast to the good ones. We wouldn't know what it's like to be happy and joyful without the sad days, the days filled with grief, right? So part of this and part of learning how to be your best friend isn't to try to make the voices in your head go away completely. It's about learning about yourself, about why they're there, and growing the compassion that you have within yourself, because the more compassionate you are to yourself, the more that you can be for other people.
I like that. And it's so well put. We are not here to, you know, make everything rose-colored and go, oh, everything's always great, always, because that's not what life is. Life is truly loving yourself is accepting yourself in all your moments, good and bad. And when you can have a bad moment and go, I'm having a bad moment and this is hard right now, I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to have compassion for myself. Those are the moments that you start to soften and feel like it's okay to have a hard moment rather than dismiss it and push it off to the side, because Catherine and I can both attest that when you push that off to the side, it is charging in a battery charger and it is coming back. It is coming back 10 times harder. So, you know, there's a lot of days where we'll be like, I'm feeling kind of angry about this thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, feel it now, because I don't want it to come back later when it's like a text. So, you know, what you suppress is going to just grow. So just love yourself enough to just go and be your best friend and just go, yeah, this is hard. It's okay that it's hard.
I love that you brought up the anger thing, because if everybody, you know, takes some time right now to think about their best friend or their spouse or someone you love very much, like a child, right? You don't expect that person that just came to mind to be happy 100% of the time, right? And so, and yet we expect ourselves to not have these normal human feelings. And so with internal family systems, we're talking about that part therapy, right? It's sitting down and kind of writing down all the little parts of yourself, what resonates, and recognizing that even the parts that you don't like about yourself necessarily, they serve a purpose and they're there for a reason. And I'll tell you about one of my parts, and Andrew gave her a great name. I've got a part called Cajun Cat, right? So I was Andrew's face. If you watch this on YouTube, it's so funny. So I've got this part of me. I was born and raised in the Deep South. And I got this part of me that, you know, it gets a little frustrated and spicy sometimes, right? There's like this fierceness comes out. It's Cajun Cat. And I have lots of other cats. I have like, you know, nice, you know, mom cat and funny cat and a silly cat and like, you know, hardworking cat and all these nice parts of me. But I also have Cajun Cat. Ooh, she gets mad sometimes. But that part of me has served a purpose many times. That part of me, I can look at her and say, oh, I wish you wouldn't get so frustrated. I wish you had more patience. I wish you, you know, were nicer in these moments. I can beat myself up about it. Or I could look at Cajun Cat and say, that's the strongest part of me. That's the part of me that became self-employed. That's the part of me that pulled herself up from her bootstraps when she became a solo parent and like made it happen and took care of her kids. And that part of me has strength. So if there's a part of you you don't like, if you think that, you know, you're lazy or maybe you don't like your physical body or whatever it is, we all have parts of us that we don't like. In order to be your own best friend, I encourage you to think about that part and how it has served you in many ways. How have your legs brought you from point A to point B? How has your body, you know, brought life into the world or allowed you to go on a beautiful nature hike or whatever it is? Every part of us that we don't like, there is some purpose that it has served in our life that you can come to appreciate, which again, is how we would tell if our child came to us and said, oh, I don't like that. I get frustrated so much. We would tell them, that's okay. You're human. It happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a, I like that you introduced Cajun Cat to the world just now.
Yeah, well, welcome.
But it's that part of you that exists for a very particular reason and it served you. And to deny it and be like, oh, I'm angry or, you know, I'm feeling spicy right now and I shouldn't. It just shames yourself. And that's not what we're about. It is an interesting experience when these parts of us come out. And, you know, I think, dear listener, as you think about yourself, you probably have different versions of yourself. You probably have, you know, best friend to others. You know, you probably know what it's like to be a best friend to others. So you know what it's like to be a best friend to yourself. You have that part of you that probably, I have Hockey Andrew, and Hockey Andrew is not somebody you want to mess with, but that is just this attitude and this way of being that is resilient. And that is a different way of being, but give those parts names, you know, kind of have fun with it. Like, why not have fun with it? Don't make it this big dark cloud. Just look at it and embrace it for what it is. So let's wrap this up. Being your own best friend is about fostering that new part of you that you would want to be around. We all know, we've all heard a million times that the, you know, if we talk to everybody else the way we talk to ourselves, we would have no friends. But let's try shifting that a little bit today. Bring the awareness into a moment in the coming day or week where you hear this and you go, I'm being mean to myself. Okay. What could I say differently? No, it's going to feel awkward and your ego is going to resist it because your ego is part of the problem with this that's been like being mean to you all the time. And then just try to feel it for a second. It doesn't have to be that long, but just, you know, and then it happens again and you start building that new pathway in your brain, that new neural pathway. And what else would you say, Kat?
Yeah. And I would say to keep practicing and journaling and be kind to yourself throughout the process, because like this is like a lifelong thing of building self-compassion for yourself, but be surprised at how far you can come in sort of adjusting your thoughts just by having the awareness of it.
I love that. Again, it always begins with awareness. And if you're listening to this episode to this point, thank you so much. I think it's just a call to action for you to start to become your own best friend. And I love it. It's something that we've both embraced this year and we are definitely better for it.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time for our glimmers. Those are the sparkly happy things that we're just sort of enjoying that we want to share with you. We like to end the episode on a high note. You got one to share today?
Yeah. So I got a new toy and I'm really, really excited about it. And it's a PEMF mat and I'm going in for shoulder surgery in a couple of weeks as the time of recording this. By the time it comes out, I'll be done. And it's to help with like recovery and blood flow and everything. But I've been sitting on it the last week or two since I got it. And it really like, it's just 8 minutes of lying there. And I really, really enjoy the feeling afterwards. Like I just feel different. I feel better. So I'm really, really grateful for that. What is your glimmer?
You know, like this whole episode, I was just going to thank you for being my best friend at the end of it. You have been the best friend for so many years. You have been the calm, nice person I go to. You have been the one to have so much compassion for me. You and I started working together when the twins were like 4 years old. You have been so patient the whole time. You have encouraged me. We have worked together and you've been like, no, go, you know, enjoy your kids. It goes by too fast. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of that. And at the same time, I know any day of the week, Hockey Andrew will throw his elbows up and like hit somebody, you know, I don't know, in the throat. I don't know. Hockey's very violent, but you know, I feel like anytime I need you, Hockey Andrew can come out, or, you know, the sweetest, nicest Canadian Andrew. You don't have a Cajun part.
I don't.
You're way too nice. That was funny. So yeah, my glimmer is you, bestie. And thanks for always being there for me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I felt that in my heart. I really appreciate being your best friend. And likewise, of course, as you know, but I'm going to save that for a glimmer for another time because you did that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Hey, guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.